just 16 senators. Let's break that down even further. According to census data, two-thirds of all Americans, some 219 million of them to be exact, live in the largest 15 states. They are represented by just 30 senators, 22 Democrats, and 8 Republicans. But what about the other third? They have 70 senators. These smaller states aren't only whiter than the nation at large, they tilt decisively to the Republican Party, represented by 42 Republicans and 28 Democrats. That's more than enough to filibuster any legislation that cannot be passed through the reconciliation process, including voting rights, effectively granting veto power over even popular proposals to a tiny minority of voters from the smallest and whitest states. As the Maine Senator Angus King noted on the Senate floor recently, 41 senators representing just 24% of Americans can block legislation with the filibuster. The Democrats' future looks even bleaker when you graph that geographic reality on a deeply polarized nation with more red-leaning states than blue, and voters increasingly less likely to split their ballots between a presidential candidate of one party and a U.S. Senate hopeful from another. The Senate has become as sorted as the rest of the nation. Should the Senate represent states or the American people? Should one-third of the nation retain the power to block legislation favored by large majorities? What does it mean to hold the consent of the governed when Democratic candidates for the U.S. Senate, but also the U.S. House of Representatives and the White House, must win by large majorities to have a chance at holding more seats or electors? But Republicans can capture both chambers with fewer votes. In a moment in which we are focused on racial equity, how can we hand bonus representation to smaller, whiter states, ensuring that the Senate leans towards the interest of white voters on any issue where whites and communities of color diverge? And what does it hold for the legitimacy of the Supreme Court, when 5 of 9 conservatives have been selected by presidents that lost the popular vote, then confirmed by senators that represent a minority of Americans? There is no equality in a system so widely malapportioned. A Congress designed 240 years ago to guard against the tyranny of the majority now ensures that a white majority in a changing nation maintains veto power simply by virtue of the smaller states where they live. Perhaps that has been the point of the Senate from the beginning. More than 25 years ago, in 1995, the former Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan observed that sometime in the next century, the United States is going to have to address the question of apportionment in the Senate. We've arrived at that moment, but now what? One solution would require Republicans conceding their advantage in the interest of representational fairness and broadening their appeal to voters in a multi-racial nation. The other solution requires Democrats to broaden their appeal and win elections in states turning decisively the other direction, then using that power to add states or make otherwise bold reform. At this moment, as Republicans cement an enduring minority rule through gerrymandering, geography, and the courts of law, and Democrats appear unable or unwilling to muster any meaningful response, both options feel equally unlikely.
Our Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran, for big and small.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa Al-Bahadili and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program we discuss problems, issues and other relevant questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of the answers provided in this program are mostly based upon the holy book of the Quran and upon the narrations of the Prophet and naturally of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our dear friend and Islamic researcher Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi from the Islamic Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Today, dear listeners, we will be discussing how we can, as parents, raise our children in a fashion where we do not employ violence as a means. And this is very important because some cultures, unfortunately, have a tendency to employ violence and hitting their children to make their children do certain things and actions or as a way of disciplining them. And this, of course, is very, very bad for the children's mind and psyche, and we've spoken about this before in previous sessions. So, dear Sayyid, how do we raise them without, funnily enough, hitting them?
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ahli Muhammad wa ajjal faraju. Well, one thing we have to start with is that Islam as a religion condone any form of violence, especially against kids. Naturally against anyone, but especially against kids. To the extent Islam sets the system of what we call diyat, retributions.
Right.
That if you hit a child, if you cause some harm to the skin, depending on the color of the skin, you have to pay in gold. So if it goes red, yellow or black, gold needs to be paid to your child.
To the child when he grows up, or?
Yeah, of course. Right. Well, I mean, you have to first now take it out,
yeah,
and then save it until he grows older. A lot of people don't understand that concept, that they beat the children, their skin changes red or black. Sometimes right. They even cause them even further damage.
Right.
Permanent damage. They think, no, I have the right. You don't have the right.
No.
This is not your body. This is not yours.
It's not a toy.
Okay, that's not how you deal with it. So, you might, and a lot of parents who have beaten their kids, what they need to do now, they need to come and ask for forgiveness from their kids,
right.
Mind you.
Of course.
Because if they don't, there's a debt on them to pay. They have to pay that debt, which is God knows how many kilos of gold
right,
has
how
accumulated
much that is.
Through right. childhood. And until today, my father, every year, the month of Ramadan, the festival, he would come to me and he would say, please forgive me because I, you know, hit you when you were a child. You were like very naughty, so sometimes I hit you.
Right.
Please forgive me. He would do that every year, round and round.
Right.
Because he has taken into consideration that it's a debt. And if I don't forgive him, then he's going to be in trouble.
Right.
And a lot of parents who have hit their children, they will be in a lot of trouble.
And yeah. That's
because
the harsh reality
debt.
Of it.
You know, it's like as we say, it's a deen. that you've hit me, it's changed, like there's a goal to be paid, you have not paid it. Now you either ask for my forgiveness or face the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right, and keeping that in mind, let's go ahead and say take break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing how we should raise our children without employing violence as a means of discipline and enforcing authority. Dear Sayyid, please continue the discussion.
So now that we understood that Islamically it is haram, forbidden to cause a child any physical harm.
Right.
Now you might ask, okay, in this case, what do I do? What is there to do besides slapping and hitting and, belting and... Well, there are other ways you can deal with a child.
Are you serious, Sayyid? Are there other ways?
Yeah, there are other ways.
That's probably news to me.
There are hundreds of... Well, actually, to a lot of people, it is news. And right. If you tell them this, because I've dealt with this myself, I've told many people that this is not the right way. And then I tell them other things, they laugh. They're like, are you serious? Yeah. That's going to work? As if. No thanks, not interested.
Right.
I'm like, okay, fine, inshallah, let's see how that thing turns out.
Yeah.
And let me know.
You'll see.
You'll see. We've been there, done that. So, yeah. So one of the first things that we have to do,
right. It's,
you know, the human being is based on this yin and yang kind of thing, which is the Quran calls it yin and yang, but in Arabic, fujuraha wa taqwaha.
Right.
Right?
Right.
This is what I call the yin and yang. So fujuraha wa taqwaha is that yin and yang.
Right.
The more I go into teaching him and enforcing in him the positive acts and actions, the less he'll make of the wrong ones. The more we enforce,
right.
Not just mutual. So if I see my son doing something good, there's a good behavior that's been done from him, that needs to be enforced. That needs to be encouraged.
Right.
So we have to do that constantly,
right,
in order for him to give up the other things,
because they are seeking feedback and they are learning as they go along.
Not just that they're seeking feedback. I mean, obviously, even as adult, we seek feedback seeking encouragement and applaud. We all want that,
right?
But especially as children, because they're in the process of creating habits and creating emotions, and they are in the process of motion itself.
Yeah.
So we have to make sure that they're choosing the right thing. So you have to, if you have, for example, scales, you put, you know, like oranges in one scale and then put the weight on the other.
Right.
So if you want the oranges to be more, you have to add a lot of oranges to overtake the weight that you had on the other scale.
Right, naturally.
Yeah. So with kids, we need to make sure that we enforce these positive attitudes for them or in them.
Right.
For example, if you see them praying with you, you should encourage that. If you see them being nice and gentle, you should encourage that. If you see them saying thank you, this and that, you should encourage it.
Yeah.
So every time you see anything good from them, it needs to be encouraged. This kind of encouragement, even, you know, just saying thank you, for example, or, you know, them doing something good. If you encourage it, that would make them feel like, okay, let me do more.
Right.
To get more encouragement.
Yeah, you should appreciate.
Yeah, and the more they do something more, and you also notice it, you encourage it, they will try to do something even more.
Right.
And they keep adding. Why? Because they want to get as much reward as they can from you.
And on the flip side, when they do discourageable behavior, then we should also...
Discourage them?
Right.
So, okay, when something wrong goes in place, I think we've spoke about 7-8 steps that we have to do before we get angry. And so we spoke about that thoroughly. The listeners can go through.
Yeah.
So obviously we don't jump to first as to hitting and to violence.
Right.
And we don't jump to telling them off and bring them down.
Right. Let's go ahead and take a quick break.
Ya Muqiyya Al-Khayrat The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "A righteous child is indeed a flower from the flowers of paradise."
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing how we should raise our children in a non-violent manner. Surprisingly enough, dear Sayyid, please pick up where you left off.
So this is the first thing, is to encourage the positive in them, okay? Second thing, that when it comes to kids and not using violence, obviously if you need to resort to violence, then the kid has done something bad. Well, obviously from your perspective, because not
right.
from the child's
according
perspective.
To you at least.
Yeah, from the child's right. perspective, it wasn't that important at all.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good to let the child wait and see the result himself of his own action. So instead of just jumping into the wagon and getting angry and fighting and slapping and hitting,
right.
you just let him see the consequences of it. So, for example, if a child breaks his toy, right, he will understand that he would no longer have this toy to play with.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
He would need either a replacement or he need to buy a new one. And when you say to him, no, I'm not buying a new one or a replacement, you broke yours, he understand the consequences of such an action, which should help him or prevent him from doing the same thing again.
Right, he would say extra care in the future.
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, we do understand that it is, you know, frustrating for the father to get just straight away angry.
Right.
I mean, you know, if he breaks, if he's playing with your phone and he drops it into water, he breaks it, falls from his hand and it breaks, right?
Right, yeah.
You say, okay, don't get angry, don't hit him, so fine. No more phone means like you're not going to play games anymore.
Yeah.
And you leave it for a while, leave it for a week or 2 weeks, and he gets to understand that next time I need to take care. So you end up teaching them a valuable lesson without you having to do any action or any talking to begin with.
They understand
just,
it. They process it
just
themselves.
Letting them
right.
wait and see the consequences themselves.
Yeah.
When you punish them, when you hit them, you take that element out of the equation. Of them trying
right.
to learn for themselves.
But you shouldn't
now
think.
Actually it's the worst. Now you broke something and you've smashed him and you hit him and you spoke to him, I don't know. Even if you just yelled at him, it makes it, you know what, I'm going to do that again. Because now you've insulted him on a personal level.
Right.
Now he won't. Yeah, that's how child.
Yeah, they take it very personal.
Yeah, that's how
of
child
course.
Work. And then right. now he wants to take revenge on you.
And they go planning their revenge like for days even.
They do. Because we've been through this.
Yeah. I'm talking on personal experience. Like I can plot and plot.
Exactly. So we don't want that to happen with our children.
Yeah, of
because
course.
We've been through it. We're trying to prevent it.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's not required. You know, the anger is not required. The hitting is not required. None of this required. Just, okay, it happened. Don't worry about it. Let's move on, but you just have to understand that there
right.
would be none of this anymore.
Right.
It's finished because you destroyed it, you broke it, or what have you.
And on that note, we will have to end today's program because we are out of time. I thank you for your insightful knowledge. I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any comments or questions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. In addition to that, we also have social media accounts on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Fi amanillah.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all by the laws of Allah. A way of life.
food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us ponder on the means of intercession with him by Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the Immaculate Daughter of the Almighty's last messenger to God, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. I will intercede for the sinners from among the Ummah of my Father when I am raised on the Day of Judgment.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
The Indian administered Kashmir has the world's only floating post office, a 200-year-old houseboat and a famous Dal Lake in Srinagar. Set up during the British rule in India, the post office has survived throughout the years because of its charm. Our correspondent Shahanabad has more.
The Indian-administered Kashmir was once a princely independent state, out of bounds for outsiders. As the ruler of Jammu and Kashmir disallowed non-locals to own property in this picturesque region. During the British rule in the Indian subcontinent, many Britons tried to find an alternative way of living in Kashmir. Thus, houseboat on the world-famous Dal Lake came into existence. Today, the lake is a home to hundreds of such boats, which are a major attraction for tourists around the globe. This one is a unique boat, the only floating post office in the whole world. This is a 200-year-old boat built by the British. It has truly stood the test of time, as it still functions.
Post office, Dal Lake.
This is not an ordinary post office. We're standing on a heritage property. I've enjoyed my work since the very first day I came here. It's a unique experience to be working here. And every day, I get the chance to meet people from different corners of the world.
The boat is not limited to postal services. It also has a small museum where colorful stamps from the 1980s are put to display, along with a collection of rare philately stamps. The post office is a hot tourist destination in the region. Locals also come to this post office to send postcards to their loved ones, inviting them to visit Kashmir.
Floating post office.
In the age of technology, electronic mail, e-cards and other internet applications have made it extremely easy for people to communicate. But sending a postcard from this floating post office gives one a really different feeling.
The floating post office underwent reconstruction in 2011 and is currently a part of the Indian postal system. Recently, the office started offering banking services, thus attracting more locals.
I have opened an account here for my daughter. It's hassle-free and this place suits my mind. It's not like the usual offices. Visiting this place with kids is like a trip.
Yet another attraction of this post office is this souvenir shop, from where everyone can buy postcards, stamps, traditional crafts and greeting cards.
This floating post office in Kashmir's Dal Lake is like a time machine. It brings people back to 2 centuries ago and shows them the history of the beautiful region. Shahana Bhatt, Indian Administered Kashmir.
Turtles get a second chance to spread their fins after being found with bellies full of plastic. They were rescued and are now being released back to the sea in Argentina. Two green turtles and 4 loggerhead turtles were saved from fishing nets in Buenos Aires province. The group was taken to Grupo Marina Foundation, where they recuperated after purging 10 types of plastic from their bodies. Rehabilitation of the turtles lasted over a month and included blood tests and other procedures to make sure they were free of plastic. A biologist with a foundation says the danger of plastic is that it's silent and usually its dangers are so gradual that it goes unnoticed.
Many times the animal appears to be in perfect health. However, during the checkup and evaluation, we found a large amount of this material inside. So it is important to get rid of the plastic before the condition worsens and it ends up causing the deaths of the specimens.
The turtles had mistakenly eaten plastic, thinking it was food. Wind, waves, and sunshine break down discarded plastic into tiny pieces, which litter ocean waters. Much of this plastic waste can be found on beds of seaweed that turtles forage for food. This trash ends up fatally clogging their bellies, causing the decline in the population of these graceful reptiles. Now let's go to Germany to hear the heartwarming story of how technology is turning a young boy's life around. 7-year-old Joshua has a severe lung disease which has made him unable to go to school. But now he can attend his classes from home with the help of an avatar robot. The device sits in Joshua's Berlin classroom, enabling him to listen to the classroom in real time to what his teacher and classmates are saying. Joshua can even interact with everyone else by making the robot display a blinking signal.
Each year, a village in Vietnam becomes awash in red and orange as it gears up for the Lunar New Year with spectacular mass production of incense. January is usually the busiest time when villagers are dyeing, drying and whittling bamboo bark to make the fragrance sticks. Also, the scent of each batch is carefully tailored to suit the tastes of the regions where they will be sold. Most households here are involved in this ancient trade and sales are a major part of their livelihoods. The Lunar New Year will begin on the first day of February. Around this time, sales tick up with throngs of people crowding into temples to light incense during worship. A 3-year-old girl from China's Hebei province has astonished ski enthusiasts with an impressive snowboarding talent.
Hello everybody, I'm Wang Shishi. I'm 3 years old and I can snowboard now.
Shishi's skills have attracted a lot of attention as a toddler boldly tackles the slopes. She makes snowboarding look easy. Despite her tender age, she is already taming the slopes at a higher skill level than a number of other aspiring snowboarders. Her parents say she has been practicing for less than 2 weeks and her progress is startling.
I remember several years ago, I felt quite scared when I was on the advanced slope, but a mother told me that Shishi started to snowboard down right when she got to the advanced trail. She was not afraid at all.
Her parents say she quickly grasped the snowboarding movements and techniques, including some of the trickiest swivels and turns. They say Shishi is enjoying the progress she is making on the slopes, and every chance she gets, she asks to go snowboarding. The young snowboarder's mum says the hobby has also brought the family closer together as they enjoy a shared passion together.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The chronic shortage of human organs has always been an issue for patients, especially those suffering from heart diseases. But now a major scientific breakthrough is in the making. U.S. surgeons have successfully implanted a heart from a genetically modified pig into a man. Doctors had said the patient, 57-year-old, was unable to have human transplant because of his health conditions. But now he is recovering from his latest surgery. The surgeons say the man is being carefully monitored to determine how the new organ is performing. But for those who want to know why pigs, here is why. Pigs are considered ideal donors because of their size and rapid growth, among other things.
You know, it is a game changer because, now we will have these organs readily available. If this works, and I hope it will work, we'll have these organs available. We have the technique of genetically modifying. So if there are more tweaking required for modifying the genes, we will be able to do that, and can customize basically the heart for or the organ for the patient.
The transplant is the first of its kind in the world and follows years of research. In the U.S. alone, about 110,000 people are currently waiting for an organ transplant. Also, more than 6,000 patients dies each year before getting one. Kingdom of Ice and Snow. Don't be surprised. It's an international sculpture festival held annually in the Chinese city of Harbin. This year, the venue brims with sports elements in a runner-up to the 2022 Winter Olympics scheduled in Beijing. The annual Winter Festival is the largest of its kind, where sculptors spend weeks using ice and snow to create structures under a given theme. The upcoming Winter Games is the theme this year, as one can visualize giant statues of Bing Duan Duan. The adorable panda mascots are major attractions of the exhibition. The chief designer says an ice tower standing in the center of the park features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics.
In terms of the design concept, the sculpture features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics to be held in Beijing. The spiral array form also indicated the proactive spirit of the Olympics. The free and upward effect is a vivid presentation of the Olympic flame.
The annual festival, which is being held for about 3 decades, usually attracts domestic and foreign tourists. But COVID-19 restrictions have limited the crowds over the past couple of years. Harbin is located in northeast China and receives cold winter wind from Siberia. An average winter temperature there is around minus 17 degrees Celsius.
South Koreans enjoy a wildlife refuge near the Korean Demilitarized Zone. New tours opened in November from the DMZ Crane Peace Town. Frank Smith has more in this report.
A new hiking trail and birdwatching facility opened up in South Korea this past November. DMZ Crane Peace Town created special birding cabins and guides wilderness hikes north of the 38th parallel, near the DMZ, the fortified border with North Korea. The demilitarized zone was created with the armistice that ended the Korean War back in 1953. Guard post fencing and a 2 to 4 kilometer wide buffer zone now separate North Korea and South Korea, with that no man's land becoming home to rejuvenated plant and wildlife.
Local officials see wildlife tourism as an opportunity to promote inter-Korean peace.
Cranes know no borders. That's why we're promoting the crane as a symbol of peace, as they can freely come and go between North and South Korea.
Each winter, several species of birds, especially cranes, spend time to rest and feed in the area, where there's little development and few people. Officials say more birds have been coming here because of depleted feeding grounds in the north.
Sichuan has wide plains suitable for growing rice. Cranes eat the grain that has fallen after harvest, and it's the best place for cranes because it's located north of the civilian control line.
A safe vantage point to photograph the wildlife is provided at the Hantan River near Yangji Village, attracting birders from far afield.
I left home at 4 in the morning to come here to photograph wild birds, swans and cranes. It's good because there are many mallard ducks and other birds. They fight for food with each other, but it's fun.
Cranes are considered a sacred symbol of longevity and fortune here and designated a national monument. Frank Smith, Cheongwon County, South Korea.
Thirty-three lucky green sea turtles get a new lease on life in Indonesia. The turtles were released into the sea off the coast of the island of Bali. Tourists and locals gather to watch the endangered animals go get their way back to the wild. Authorities rescued the reptiles from poachers late last year. The population of green sea turtles has fell sharply in recent years due to excessive hunting and the loss of nesting sites.
In Germany, tasty bits of crumbs are all it takes for hundreds of sheep and goats to participate in the campaign to encourage vaccination against COVID-19. 700 farm animals were arranged into a 100-meter-long syringe in a pasture south of Hamburg. The shepherd says she spent several days practicing the herd. The sheep and goats were lured by pieces of bread, which they quickly gobbled up after being released into the field. Helping the shepherd was an organizer who works with a flock to run team training exercises for companies. He says they wanted to do something to grab people's attention and encourage them to get COVID jabs.
Well, if I were to just write it on Facebook, nobody would notice it. And my job is to have company teams leading some thousand sheep from A to B, and I have noticed how enthusiastically the sheep are received, and that it simply reaches people deep inside, which is perhaps not possible rationally, with rational arguments.
Etzold says sheep bring out the soft side of people and hopes that this will help convey the message. So far, the campaign has received a positive response, with videos of the sheep arrangement going viral. Official data shows Germany has the lowest inoculation rate among Western European nations. This is mainly attributed to vaccination hesitancy, as well as a small percentage who vehemently oppose getting the jab.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen,
Salam and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. You are listening to IRIB English Radio and this program today is special. I invite you to be with us. Our topic for today is the concept of divorce in Islam. Today, Tuesday, is the 15th of Jamadil Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 28th of day, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar and 18th of January, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Baqarah, verse 229. We'll listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. الطلاق مرتان فإمساك بمعروف أو تسريح بإحسان ولا يحل لكم أن تأخذوا مما آتيتموهن شيئا إلا أن يخافا ألا يقيما حدود الله فإن خفتم ألا يقيما حدود الله فلا جناح عليهما فيما افتدت به تلك حدود الله فلا تعتدوها ومن يتعد حدود الله فأولئك هم الظالمون.
Divorce is twice. Then either keep her in a reasonable manner or release her with good treatment. And it is not lawful for you to take what you have given them, unless both fear that they will not be able to keep within the limits of Allah. But if you fear that they will not keep within the limits of Allah, then there is no blame upon either of them concerning that by which she ransoms herself. These are the limits of Allah, so do not transgress them. And whoever transgresses the limits of Allah, it is those who are the wrongdoers.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Once there came a woman to one of the Prophet's wives and complained about her husband that he repeatedly divorced her and they revoked again to create damages for her thereby. And it was customary among pagans, Arabs, that a man could divorce his wife thousands of times and revoke it, while there was no limit in this regard. When this grievance was reported to the Prophet, the verse was revealed and limited the divorce.
قلب ينبض بالقرآن وهنا حلقات الصديق قلب ينبض بالقرآن.
Divorce in Islam. This is the continuation of today's special from IRIB English Radio. In order to prevent divorce, Islam campaigns against its causes. One influential factor for divorce is the disheartenment of a husband for his wife and his fondness and affection toward non-mahram women. The chief instrument for this is a lack of adequate hijab among women and leering in men. When a man looks upon a woman who is more beautiful and attractive than his own wife, he may become infatuated with her and become disheartened with his wife. Little by little, he makes familial life bitter by finding faults, seeking excuses, and picking quarrels, which might ultimately lead to divorce. In order to keep this from happening, on the one hand, Islam enjoins women to observe hijab, cover their attractions from men, and refrain from being alluring for anyone but their own husbands. On the other hand, Islam directs men to abstain from looking and joking and bantering with non-mahram women. If their eyes happen upon non-mahram women, they must not linger and immediately look away. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin asta'in. In this episode, our topic is going to be concerned with divorce in Islam. At the same time, we find that it's indicated in the Holy Quran, in the Surah An-Nisa, verse 35, in that in case you fear that there would be a divorce, I mean, between a man and his wife, a husband and wife, between a husband and wife, select someone on the side of the husband and one on the side of the wife, and they should come and sit together and discuss the matters, the matters of difference, so that they would change this case of divorce into a case of matrimony and wedlock and getting reunited again. Lexically speaking, in the Arabic language, the word talaq, translated into English, lexically, talaq in the Arabic language means detestion. Having a feeling towards something is detestable or detestableness. In the Arabic language, taqliq means divorce, marriage or matrimony and so on. In Islamic instructions, we find that divorce is permissible under its certain conditions, and because of this, we find that in the Islamic religion, getting married is much easier than divorcing. The legal process of getting married is much easier. However, the legal process stages of achieving a divorce isn't that practicable. Of course, it can be done, and some people, we hear here and there that for example, a husband divorces his wife, or a wife gets a divorce from her husband. But all in all, it isn't anything favorable in the Islamic religion.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
This is today's special on steps to an Islamic divorce. Arbitration. A marriage and a possible divorce involve more people than just the two spouses. It affects children, parents, and entire families. Some couples seek an alternative involving an independent marriage counselor. While a counselor may play an important role in reconciliation, this person is naturally detached and lacks personal involvement. Family members have a personal stake in the outcome and may be more committed to seeking a resolution. If this attempt fails after all due efforts, then it is recognized that divorce may be the only option. The couple proceeds to pronouncing a divorce.
Allah, Allah. Allah, 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 Allah.
a look to nature's beauty, dazzled am I, knowing everything calls on you, the Lord Most High.
Allah الذي يهدينا جميعا, Allah الذي نعتز به جميعا.
Let's look at the tips to cope and move forward. One of the tips is self-reflect. Self-reflection is always a good thing. Anytime you go through a major life event or change, it is worth your time and energy to focus on the positive and negative aspects of your experience. Dear friend, think about these questions. What was your part in the relationship? In what ways can you grow from it? What did you learn about yourself and your relationship? Do you have regrets? If so, how can you plan to do things differently? Do you need to apologize? Are you holding on to resentments? If so, how can you let go of them? You may even possibly find yourself remembering some good from your marriage, focusing on the good things that came out of your relationship. Children, memories, friendships you formed along the way can help you let go of the negatives.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah.
Criticizing, spying, and praying into the lives of the divorcees. Every time they travel, why did they travel? Who are they traveling with? Why is she traveling? There are sins Allah forgives, and there are sins Allah will not forgive until that person in the Day of Judgment, you have to face them. You accuse this person. You made up fictitious tales and stories and lies about this person. Go and seek their forgiveness. Do I want to put myself in that position? And not only the one who states those stories, but the one who listens also shares. Just like if you hear the Quran, you share the thawab. You hear the majlis, you share the thawab. You hear the ahadith, you share the thawab. Just like you hear the ghiba, you share the iqab. Just like you hear the buhtan and the namima and the accusation and the lies, you share the punishment and the sin. And we have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Why we prayed into the lives of people, why we looked into their lives, and even if they made mistakes, even if they were sinful, is it my business to go after them and to expose them?
Dear friend, inshallah, we learn more about divorce, especially in the view of Islam, in the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
I know that I'm not alone. What I've seen has been seen before, but it hurts. Just like a thorn, a pain I never felt before. My heart said, just speak the truth. My mind said, don't be a fool. I need to get something off my mind. Don't let this silence be misunderstood. I don't know
when my heart will take me, but I know your life will protect me from this fragile world.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.